Back on the Hammer Down Show, 101.7 Hammer, 101.7hammer.com. Purdue men's basketball tonight. Round two of the Charleston Classic as the Boilermakers face Davidson down in Charleston. And with much more on the matchup, we bring in Nathan Baird, Purdue basketball beat writer for the Lafayette Journal and Courier, to the show on the Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline. And good afternoon, Nathan. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Clayton. How's it going?
Going well. How are things in Charleston?
A little bit quieter than they are back in Indiana this week, I guess.
So I'm curious about that. Are you hearing anything from fans about Coach Brohm? Are they talking about it down there? Is it an issue? What's going on?
I don't know if it's an issue, but it's certainly a conversation topic. Yesterday we had people coming up to us on press row asking us what we'd heard about it, or if we knew anything, or sort of just shaking their heads about the whole thing and kind of laughing about it. There was sort of a variety of reactions to it. So, no, it's definitely something that's on the minds of fans, and something that I think that is just going to kind of hover for a couple of weeks while this season plays out.
So what's been your reaction to what you've heard, what you've seen about Coach Brohm and this, you know, Louisville-Purdue debate?
You know, I think I would just say to people the same thing I said when Purdue was hiring Jeff Brohm, the same thing I would say to people when they were when the whole Tennessee thing happened last year. You know, be diligent with the way that you read the reports that are coming out. You know, very typically, if something like this were already finalized, there wouldn't just be one person reporting it, I guess is the way I would say it. Now, will it turn out that he ends up taking the Louisville job and they announce it on Monday the 26th? I suppose, but it's just the silence from literally anybody else reporting on college sports right now is kind of deafening. And there's a lot of people who are really tied in at Louisville and really tied into the Brohm family on top of that. So I'm skeptical. Could still happen. I'm not skeptical that it would happen. I'm skeptical that it would be already locked in the way that it's been presented right now. It's out of character for Brohm. It's even a little bit out of character maybe for the way that people talk about Louisville's athletic director. So I'm sort of still, obviously we'll be diligent in our jobs as well, as far as, you know, trying to talk to people and follow the breadcrumbs and see if it leads anywhere. But I would just caution people to not overreact to any one thing that you see, especially on social media, and maybe just kind of hang back and let this process kind of play out.
And then as I saw on social media, folks were debating on where Mike Bobinski is this weekend. Is he down there?
I saw him yesterday. I have not seen him yet today, so I don't know that he's here today. Obviously, there's a football game this weekend, but it was my assumption that he was going to be down here at least for part of the weekend. So I don't know where he is. But really, we're still in the middle of a football season. There's not a lot that he could do in West Lafayette that he can't do right here. Where, I mean, it's not like he has to get down on his knees and beg. I mean, the phones work here. He's got a lot of things to oversee, and at the end of the day, I don't think this is going to be I don't know what Purdue, if this Louisville thing starts to come to fruition, I don't know that there's a lot for Mike Bobinski to do necessarily, because the poll is going to be emotional as much as anything that would potentially coax Jeff Brohm into going to Louisville. Unless they really do go find a lot of, you know, booster money or whatever to make up for all the money that they're paying out in other ways right now. I think Purdue can probably compete on that playing field. It's going to be more whether the emotional ties, the sort of nostalgic ties that Brohm and his family have there, went out. I don't know that there's a lot that Purdue or Mike Bobinski or Mike Burdoff or any of those people can necessarily do to try to catch up to that. They're already doing that by the way that they support the program and treat Jeff Brohm on a day-to-day basis. So I don't know that there's a package that they can summon to do that. It's going to be more about, is this just for family reasons, nostalgic reasons, however you want to say it, romantic reasons, is it too much for Jeff Brown to turn down? But I really don't think I don't think I'm being naive. I really do think that's something that they'll wait and worry about after the bucket game, just the same as they didn't prematurely jump on the Purdue situation when that was available to them 2 years ago.
Nathan Baird with us, Purdue basketball beat writer for the Lafayette Journal and Courier. Go ahead, Stuart.
Hey, Nathan, talking about this basketball game, this matchup between Purdue and Davidson. You know, Davidson shot 36.5% against Wichita State. What are our chances look like tonight against the Wildcats?
Yeah, I'm interested to watch this game because I think it's going to be kind of an interesting contrast in styles. You know, Purdue, contrary to what I think is sort of a national impression of them sometimes because they are known for their big guys, but Purdue really runs the floor really well. They've been doing a good job, and they did it the other night against Appalachian State of kind of pressing the tempo, pushing the tempo, getting up and down the floor. And Davidson doesn't necessarily play that way. I mean, I think they're going to be probably trying to control things a little bit more than that. So does Purdue come out and dictate things? Do they come out and sort of play the game on their terms? And some of that's going to be how they defend this game, too. Davidson's more of a four guard, at least the starting lineup, more of a small ball approach. So that's going to maybe give them favorable matchups at a couple spots, maybe the four, and how does Purdue then counteract that on the other end of the floor? Just an interesting matchup here, you know, a couple good coaches, a couple of really solid programs, obviously, and that's kind of what these early season tournaments are about.
How about the guy that poured in 33 for Davidson last night, John Axel Goodmanson? How big a challenge will he be to stop tonight?
Well, I didn't get to actually watch that game, but anybody who scores 34 points in a game is going to be pretty tough to stop. And he's shot very well from three early. I know it's only three games in, so you want to make too much of a small sample size, but he's up over 50%. But the rest of the team is down in the 20s. The rest of the team is not shot from three very well. And they're not really a high-volume three-shooting team either. So that's going to be, you know, I want to know what matchup Purdue decides to go with on him. Do you put someone like Nojel Eastern on him? Or Gunnison's really one of the smaller guys in that backcourt, so maybe that's more of a Carson Edwards matchup to try to disciple him that way. And Purdue's going to have to just do what it did yesterday, really. I mean, yesterday really showed us a blueprint of what this team could be. Even if it was only in kind of a small stretch where they were really, you know, geared in those first couple minutes and set a tempo, set a tone really defensively against Appalachian State. But they can come out and do those same things, you know, pressure the ball in the half court, deny the shooters, put them in uncomfortable positions, and just, you know, the way that they jam the opposing point guards with Nojel Eastern and other guys, just kind of wear a team down. And then also on top of that, get the ball going the other way. Try to let the defense sort of dictate your offense. That was another positive sign for Purdue out of yesterday's game. Was sometimes when this team lets its offense dictate its defense, it's playing backwards. It needs to play with the defense dictating the offense. If it can do that today, I think it's got a good shot.
Well, Nathan, you talked about the impression of Boilermaker basketball is a little bit different than what it actually is. You know, the Boilermakers scored 14 fast break points and 23 points from the reserves. Does Coach Painter feel it's okay to run those guys hard because we have some depth in our bench, so if those guys do need to take a break, we're not going to miss a beat?
He does like the depth, but I think it's also something he's optimistic about more in the long run, where you see guys like Eric Hunter, Sasha Stefanovic, sort of coming along they're taking the steps to the kind of players they could be later on, not just later on in their careers, but even later on this season. Even someone like Aaron Wheeler, who has really come in the last few games, I thought, and given Purdue some really good minutes. And there's a nice contrast between him and Grady Eifert. You know, Grady is more of a, you know, a little bit of a thicker body, more of a veteran guy, and a really reliable guy, kind of a team guy. And then you bring in Aaron, who's a little bit more raw, but just so athletic. That's a really interesting contrast for teams to have to match up with over the course of 40 minutes. But those guys, I think, as he looks in the long run, he likes the kind of depth that's going to develop into for this team. And this tournament's an interesting opportunity to kind of do some of that. On top of all that, yesterday, the fact that they were able to kind of make that game a laugher early, get some guys off the floor, get them off their legs, could potentially help them here today, because Davidson obviously had to go hard all 40 minutes in order to beat a team like Wichita State. They only won that game by 4, and it was kind of a defensive slog the whole game. So that's something else to complain for these favorite today.
Nathan, we appreciate it, man, all the information and all the time. Enjoy the ball game tonight, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks a lot.
That game coming up tonight at 6:30. Purdue and Davidson down in Charleston. A game you can see on ESPNU. When we come back, it's our Roars of the Day. So don't go away. It's the Hammer Down Show on 101.7 The Hammer, 101.7thehammer.com.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we know agriculture. Our clients are always planning for tomorrow, watching the markets, and weighing every decision. We know it isn't easy, and we know you wouldn't want to do anything else. We're here to help. Our lenders will help you build financial solutions like crop operating and inventory loans, livestock lending, and long-term real estate financing. Ready to get to work? Visit us online at ffbt.com. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
If you're planning to buy a new snowplow this winter, listen up. Plan ahead, buy early, and save big at Road Truck Equipment. They have Western snowplows and spreaders on sale now, in stock and ready for installation. Get to Road Truck today and take advantage of big savings going on now for a limited time. These deals won't last long. Get to Road Truck before the selection is gone. Located across from SIA on Veterans Memorial Parkway. Call Road Truck Equipment at 447-3900.